C-158. Number 4B.
Atom and Eucharist. But it's, the Atom and Eucharist says you have to do it to the best of what you do. That's all that is asked. And no blame will be on us because we don't do today what Jesus did in his life work. But the effort has to be made. She says every effort, every pang of repentance and suffering, every effort for reform, every good thought and deed will help us to understand Jesus' atonement for sin and aid its efficiency, its efficacy. Efficacy. Thank you. So, let's be clear about that point. That it isn't asking too much. It's only asking what we can do. But it's asking to do that what one can do. And that's asking already a lot. To ask what to do what one can do. That's already asking a lot. But that is asked here. Now, one more point. It's 7 o'clock if anybody has to leave at this moment. I go on for 5 or 10 minutes. Now, the point is this, in connection with Atonement and Eucharist, with prayer. Let's see again. We went out from prayer, from the oneness of prayer. What is this oneness? There is only one petitioner in all being, man in God's own likeness. There is only one petitioned, God in its definition of the seven. There is only one method of praying. That's the sevenfold method of godlike qualities. And there is only one reward which God determines, and it's only one reward in its sevenfold blessing of God's own nature, which shows that we can never demonstrate anything else but the divine nature. Let's be clear about that. We can never demonstrate anything but the divine nature through that prayer. So, everything in prayer, in true prayer, goes really on within one realm, within one only realm. It is the mind-like man praying to the one mind through mind-like qualities, receiving mind-like rewards, nothing more. And so it is a spirit-like man praying to the one spirit which is God through the means of spirit and receiving only the reward of spirit, the blessing of spirit. And so, with soul and with principle and life, truth and love. And in the measure, now we come to Atonement and Eucharist. Now in the measure, as this mind-like man, through the mind-like qualities, prays to the one mind, receives the mind-like blessing, what does that do? What is that mind-like blessing? Well, that mind-like blessing which I receive through the word in prayer is the word as the Christ, is the Christ impulsion. The blessing of God is the Christ. The blessing of the word is the Christ. The blessing, therefore, in prayer which comes is that something is going to happen, that there is some dynamic going to happen. The Christ impulsion is going to happen. That's our result of prayer, the Christ. The Word of God always leads to the Christ. The Word of God, therefore, the nearer I get to the one Word, as to the one mind and the one spirit and the one soul and so on, the more as a reward I feel the Christ impulsion coming to me. That's the reward. And that Christ impulsion just sets the whole dynamic of prayer in motion again. That I become more inspired in mind, that I begin to see God clearer and clearer, and that whole thing sets me into motion. It fills me with the Christ impulsion, and therefore makes me act like mind. It sets me, that Christ impulsion sets me to act spirit-like. It sets me to act soul-like. It sets me to act principle-like, and life-like, and truth-like, and soul, and love-like. That's Atonement and Eucharist. In the whole sense of Atonement and Eucharist, you see that the purpose of prayer is to set into action Atonement and Eucharist. The purpose of prayer is to get the blessing of God. What is the blessing of God? The blessing of God is that love wants us to be purified. And in order to be purified, mind makes us to act mind-like, and therefore no more mortal mind-like. Sets us to act spirit-like. And we have in the Atonement Eucharist that it is sets us to act, to worship only one God, no more many gods, to look out for the one spirit and turn away from matter. It's all that. It sets us to act soul-like. And in that third subject in Atonement and Eucharist, it shows that it sets us to act, to be perseverant and to be unwavering and not to give in anymore. See, it makes us to be soul-like. It makes us to act principle-like, and in that chapter of the fourth subject shows how in Atonement we begin to act principle-like and no more doctrinal-like, no more theological-like. It shows that it sets us to act life-like, and no more corporeal life-like, no more material life-like. That it sets us to act to act in the way as life acts, no more as the material sense of life tries to make us act and move and think. And so is truth. Can you see how what the highest prayer really here is? The highest prayer of the chapter on prayer is that it fulfills Atonement and Eucharist. That's the highest we can ask, because the highest we can ask is this, that in our prayer we are willing to lay down the mortal sense of existence, the Eucharist, in order to be bound and related more strongly and more tightly in the unity of God and man. Now, this would be one of our highest answers and demonstration. So when we ask ourselves, what can we show forth as demonstration? Well, in the signs of life, in that signs of Christianity where we give birth to that wonder called man, in that line the prayer is giving us the impulsion of the Christ, which enables us to act mind-like instead of mortal mind-like. Gives us the impulsion of the Christ to act spirit-like instead of materiality-like, and so on. If we feel that happens, then we have fruits, and we have big fruits. So we can see how the one chapter really sets into motion, so to say, the next chapter. But not only that, we begin to see a new line in which we develop and unfold, in which the new line which the next millennium will develop. And the question is, are we going to give birth first to the understanding of the underlying science of this last millennium or not? And I think we are. So I must stop now, and tomorrow we'll go on to the third chapter.